to start learning. So today we're starting Siman Tzadi Hei, which is very exciting because this is a sugya of Nat Bar Nat, and it's always good to get into the sugya of Nat Bar Nat. There are actual shailas that come up once in a while on Nat Bar Nat. This is very nogeil lemaisa, certainly Nat Bar Nat Teira, very very nogeil lemaisa. So the first two si'ifim discuss just the basic concept of Nat Bar Nat and how it plays out according to Svardim and according to Ashkenazim, and then we're going to have a couple of see if about washing dishes, how it applies to washing dishes. We're going to have to talk about using a dishwasher and kashering a dishwasher, and can use the same one for milchigs and fleishigs, and how that relates to Nat Bar Nat, and the same sink for milchigs and fleishigs, things of that nature. And then toward the end of the siman, we're going to have a number of other harchakos that relate to this topic as well. So anyway, the primary sugya is a sugya on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis in Maseches Chulin. It's pretty much the second half of the page of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Goes over a little bit onto Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and the Gemara tells us, Itmar Dogim Sha'alu Bika'ara. If you have fish that were alu bika'ara, they went up on a fleshic plate. So the Gemara tells us, Rav Amar Asur La'achlin B'Kutach, Shmuel Amar Mutar La'achlin B'Kutach. We know a few things about Kutach, but as far as Basar B'Cholav is concerned, what's relevant to us about Kutach is that it is milchik. So it is a classic milchik food. So Rav says you're not allowed to eat fish that was on a fleshic plate with a milchik food. If you want to put some, some sour cream or something on the fish, that's no good because that fish had previously been on a fleshic plate. But Shmuel says, mutter, that it's mutter to have it with kutach. And the Gemara explains. Rav says it's also because no sin tamu. The tam of the buster is in the fish, so the fish is fleshic. You can't take a fleshic of fish and have it together with milchik. Where Shmuel says, no, it's no sin tam, bar no. No Saint Tom would be if you had meat that gave Tom into the fish. Over here, you don't have meat that gave Tom into the fish. You have meat gave Tom into the plate, and the plate gave Tom into the fish. So that is already only secondary Tom, and therefore there's no longer going to be a prohibition to have that fish together with kutach. That is the shita of Shmuel. And then the Gemara explains, Vahadar Rav, the shita of Rav, who's machmir, because generally speaking, you have machlokas Rav and Shmuel, so you would naturally expect Hilchus HaKarav B'Isuri. So you would naturally expect that the Gemara would somehow come to the conclusion that we paskin like Rav, or at least if the Gemara doesn't explicitly come to a conclusion, we would paskin like Rav. Of course, over here the Gemara does come to a conclusion. Part of what leads the Gemara to that conclusion is that Vahad Rav Lav Beferish Itmar Ela Mechwala Itmar. The Gemara says that Rav's Shita was never actually stated by Rav. Rav's famous Shita, that Nat Bar Nat is Asur, the Nat Bar Nat Teira is going to be problematic. Rav never actually said that. It was just a Maisa Shahaya that we tried to deduce Shitas Rav, because the Rav Ikla Lebe Rav Simi Barchia, Barbarei, V'chash Be'enav. Rav went to his grandson's house and he wasn't feeling well. Avdulei Shaifa Bitzah Basar Hachi Ramalei Beshula Begava, that they made him some type of eye ointment or something, some sort of medicine, and then they put some meat in that same plate where they made this ointment in. So Toyim Lei Time of the Shaifa, and he was still able to taste the taste of the medicine in the food. So he saw that even though the tam of the medicine went into the pot, and now the tam went from the pot into the next food, you could still detect it. The tam was still there. Amar Yov Taim Kule Hai. Look, it's still giving tam. Says Rav Elohi, Shain Yasam Denafish Merara Tvei. Nah, that case was different because it was a particularly bitter thing. It had a very strong taste, but you can't bring that as a raya. Then the Gemara goes on to tell the story that one of the Chachamim ate Dogim Sha'alu B'Ka'ara together with Kutach, and he explained, yeah, Anaki Shmuel Svirali. Ooh, so that's a second indication. Not only was Rav only based on a Mais, a Mechlala Itmar, and not Beferish Itmar, and the Mechlala wasn't so glad, Shmuel's Shita was followed the Maisa. We have a Maisa Rav. A Maisa Rav is an indicator in Pesach Halacha also, that when you see that someone didn't just say it in the Beis Medrash, but they actually did it, so a Maisa Rav is a strong indication. So you have, he said, Anaka Shmuel Svirali, so a Maisa Rav like Shmuel. And then, if that's not enough, the Gemara Paskins, Amar Chizkiya Mishum Abaye, Hilchasa Dogim Shalom B'Kar Mutar Lochem B'Kutach. So there we have it. Nat Bar Nat Teira is Mutar. If you have if you have a fleshiga pot or a fleshiga plate, let's say, so tam of flesh went into the plate, and now tam is going from the plate into your fish, you are allowed to have that fish together with some sort of cream sauce, some sort of milchiga sauce. And we pass like Shmuel, v'yisur basam chalav is only if you have a strong fusion of milk and meat flavors. By the time the milk meets the meat over here, the meat is so severely weakened and crippled that it's no longer able to generate the Yisra Basa B'chav. The Gemara continues, one more line, that Snon Shechatchu B'sakin Shechatach B'basar, and this is going to be a critical line also, that if you take a radish and you cut it with a fleshig knife, Asr La'ochla B'kutach, that radish cannot be used in a salad with the milchig dressing. You can't use that radish. You can't dip it in kutach. So a Caesar dressing. That's right. Caesar dressing is sometimes milchig. So yeah. So let's say a Caesar dressing that you're going to have that radish with. That's not going to be okay because you cut that radish with a fleshig knife. Now what's the problem? It's not parnata teira. So why would it be aser? So there are two issues. There's the fact that it's a radish and the fact that it's a sakin. It's not a ka'ara. So a sakin has shamnunis on the sakin, and the so we assume that there's some be'en over there. So it's not only tam that goes through, and it's a radish, so it's a davar charif. So because it's a davar charif, we assume that the transfer is not going to weaken the tam. If it were a sweeter vegetable, the Gemara goes on to say, like kishus, the Gemara says, then gari lebepil paske va'achil. Then you could just scrape off wherever the knife cut through, scrape off that part of the vegetable, and then you're allowed to eat the rest of it, because we assume that the tam is not going to be an issue. The issue is only going to be the shamnunis. Yeah.
Yeah, so by another vegetable, why do we not use the same rules of, maybe the klipa or the natila? We just not use it by other stuff, or is it strictly by
basar? I mean, is this garden not a k'day klipa?
You said you just have to wipe it off.
Wipe it off, yeah.
Why would you not have to take off a little bit more than that? Seemingly there could be some blias over transfer.
But if it's not a davar charif, and there's no heat, right? So it's just whatever mamashlus
is. Or after you wipe it off.
Right. So, what does this mean? What does it mean to be garter? Does that not mean hadacha or klipa? What does it mean? I don't even know. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. We have to look around at what the how that's quoted in halacha. So, a couple of things about not bar not before we get into it. So, first of all of our discussion assumes ben yomo. Most shailas you're going to get about not par not are eno ben yomo. So everything we're going to learn is going to be, not everything. A lot of what we're going to learn is going to be very often not relevant. Everything we're assuming is that everything was just used. So that's one. Also, the Prima Gadim at the beginning of the Simen, and Pesachei Teshuvah quotes this in Sif Katan Aleph, it's in, the Prima Gadim's sort of introduction to the Simen. He says, I am Prima Gadim, Mishpesot Sif Katan Aleph, Shakasa B'Shem Shari Dura, De'ein not bar not ela b'kli avalo ba'ochel. That you can only have not bar not in the kli, you can't have not bar not in ochel. Meaning, when do we assume that the tam has been so severely weakened that you're going to have this heter called not bar not? That's only if the tam went into a kli. But if the tam just went from food to food, then that's not going to be called not bar not. So Pesachei Teshuvah goes right over there. We're going to come back to that. Meaning, what does that mean? Does that mean that that only if there's a kli involved at some step in the process? Meaning, we're going to have to come back to this. But let's say you have a meat that's cooking with a potato right on top of the meat. The potato sitting on the meat, and then you cook that potato in a par of a pot. So is the par of a pot now fleshig, or do we say no? It's not parnata teira. Now, normally it goes the other way. It goes meat to the pot, to the food. Over here, it went meat to the food, to the pot. Right? So we're going to have to talk about that. But if you have meat to the potato, to broccoli, right, where there was no kli at all, then for sure, we're going to say that there's no heter called not parnat. And not parnat doesn't apply to transfer of tam from food to food. There is something that being bedot ne'akadera, that being in a kli, does to weaken the tam. Now, before we get into not pranata etera and the whole lundus of not pranata etera, we have to understand why not pranata etera is going to be different than not pranata yisura, which all the Rishonim say, right? Tosfos and the Rambam and the Rashba, the Ritva, they all point out that we only paskin like Shmuel in a case of basar or chalav, or chametz before Pesach, where it's heter before Pesach, or basar kachim that has not yet become nosar, where it's hetera bala. We only say not barnat when it's not barnat hetera. The nesinas tam was beheter, and then later would be ne'asar. But when you're dealing with a real iser, you're dealing with nevela, trefa, you're dealing with something that's already basar b'chalav, you're dealing with beima tamea, something like that, then not barnat, 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 we assume no matter how many nesinas tams there are, it's always going to be a problem. It has the ability to transfer. So why is that the case? So there are two basic shitos in Rishonim as to why that would be the case. What's the chilik between, meaning how does the tam know, you know, trefa meat tastes exactly the same as kosher meat. So it has the same flavors, it has the same physical makeup. So if you're going to tell me that kosher meat gives tam into a pot, but then it doesn't then give tam into the pasta that you cook in that pot, it's not really a flesh gatam in that pasta, so the pasta is not going to be flesh. That means that meat doesn't have the capacity to give tam to that extent. But trefa meat says, oh no, I'm trefa, so I'm strong, I work out, so I'm going to be able to give tam further. The meat doesn't know that it's trefa, it's just meat, right? So how's it gonna go and transfer tam from one to the other, and all of a sudden now the pasta is going to be flesh. Well, why would that be the case? Why would that be that the spaghetti you cook in the fleishik pot, if the fleishik pot had trefa tam, so tam basar, it's going to be a fleishik spaghetti, or an usher spaghetti, rather. But if it was kosher tam of basar, it's not going to be a fleishik spaghetti. So why would that be the case? So this is a fundamental machlokas between the Rashba, on the one hand, the Rashba and the Torah Sabayus, and on the other hand, the Hagos Smak and the Isra Veheter. So the Rashba and Torah Sabayus, by Eskimel Shardalid, says, what we said many times from the Rashba already, this is a favorite of the Rashba's, it's one of the big Yesodos that we have in Yaradeya, the concept of Tam Kalush, that you can't have a Chalos Isser on something that is already a tam kalush, on something that's a very weakened form of the tam. So if the tam was sufficiently weakened in advance of any iser being chal, it's no longer strong enough to have a chalos iser on it. But if you have something that was already usser, that will remain usser even after the tam has been weakened. An isser doesn't fly away just because the tam has been weakened. As long as the tam exists, the Isser is there, but a weakened Tam is not strong enough to carry a new Isser on it. The Rosh Yosef in Chakira HaBeis, the Rosh Yosef writes that according to the Rashba, you have to say that not Parnata Isura is only a Din Midrabanan. He suggests. Why? Why would you say not Parnata Isura is only Asur Midrabanan? Because if a Tam is too weak to be consequential, it's too weak to be consequential. Meaning if it's too shvach of a tam to generate an iser, so then it's not really a tam. Then it doesn't really exist, he suggests. And therefore, must be that it's only a din midrabanan, that not barnati yisura is going to be problematic. He says, v'chi atam navihu, shebeheter niklash taimo, be'isur lo niklash taimo. What is the tam a navi? The tam knows that if it's heter, then it should weaken to the point where it can't have a chalos iser. But if it's already usher, then it shouldn't weaken. Most achronim assume not that way, though, I think. I think most achronim, Yad Yehuda says explicitly that it's an iser daraisa, not panati yisuras daraisa. They just say that the tam exists. Yeah, physically the tam exists. But the Rashba learns that it's a very weak tam, so it's not a chosh of enough tam to have iser bichal on it. Right.
We would call that not
barnat. Yeah. I mean, that would not be not barnat.
With the explanation of the Rashba, meaning
before you. No, it only becomes tam kolish if upon the second transference of tam it hasn't yet met with the milachik.
When the tam is in the
dofna,
it's not yet considered weaker. It's only.
Right. It's on the second transfer that it weakens enough. Yeah, that's what we assume. Yeah. So that's the Rashba. So the Rashba assumes that it's all based on Tam Kalush, that the Tam on the second transfer is going to weaken, and now once it's weak, it can't sustain or can't carry the Isser. The Hagos HaSmak, Simin Reshid Gimel, the Isser V'Heter Klal Lamedalid Din Zayin, learn that Nat Barnati Isura is based on Chatichan Asin Veilu. That the reason not Barnati Isur is a problem is because if you have Tam Isur that goes into the pot is now Chaticha of Isur, Chaticha Nas Nevela, assuming that you could apply Chaticha Nas Nevela in the Dafnei Kedera. So each time you have a Nesinas Tam, you restart the, I mean, it's not the clock, but you restart the process, right? Meaning, because now that is the Isur, that becomes the Gufa Isur. Right, the gufa isur was a piece of treif of meat, but then you cook the treif of meat in the pot. Now the pot is the gufa isur because chatichanas nevela. But you're not going to say chatichanas nevela when you don't have nevela, when you don't have anything that's asur. You cooked a piece of kosher meat in a pot, so the pot doesn't become a chatich of nevela. So that's why you have a heter of naparnat when it comes to heter, but you're not going to have it when it comes to isur. That obviously only works if you assume chanan b'shari sur. Right. If you don't assume Chanan B'Shari Surin, then you have a very hard time explaining how you can say that Naparnati Isura, Behemoth Tameya, Trefa, Nevela, whatever, is going to be based on Chatichanaz Nevela. What do you mean? There's no Chatichanaz Nevela B'Shari Surin. So according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, that there's no Chanan B'Shari Surin, so it's not going to work. It works out very nicely, Rashba L'Shitaso, right? Because the Rashba passes like Rabbeinu Ephraim. So the Rashba, who assumes like Rabbeinu Ephraim, is going to say, what are you talking about, Chanan? You can't apply Chanan over here. There's Shari Surim anyway. So it's got to come up with a different explanation. It's got to be about the fact that it's Tam Kolush. It can't be about Chatichanas Nevela.
Rabbi, said that the Shach said that if you know exactly the amount of flavor that went into something, right, then it can't go further than that. So why would
okay, good. Yeah. So there's a problem, right? Meaning, we'll get to that in a second, actually. Let's attack it from this angle. Would you say chanat? Would you say not barnat the isura? Would you say not barnat? I'm sorry. Would you say the heter of not barnat by chametz b'pesach? Now we just said, of course, chametz b'pesach. You assume that it's heter abala. You assume that that's heter. So of course you have the heter of not barnat. Why not? Let's say it was balea heter before Pesach. Right, so would you say not barnat on chametz? What would be the svarin to not apply not barnat on chametz? Chumr de chametz, but let's say even better. What's so chumr about chametz? Halachically, what's it's also mashal. Meaning, how connected is not barnat to tam? Is not barnat assuming that there exists tam? And we're saying, okay, now that tam is, worthy of discussion, or do we assume that, and we're saying that naparnat, I'm sorry, that once you have naparnat, there's no real tam anymore. But if you have something that's also mashu, I don't need real tam, it's also even if it's not nosin tam. Or do we assume not that way? Meaning, the fact that there's such a thing as naparnati surah implies that when you have a nat barnat, the taste is there, right? That it exists. The fact that we assume nat barnat yisura is true assumes l'chora that there actually, that physically there is tam, according to the Rashba at least, right? It's a tam kalush, but it exists. According to the Yisra V'Hatur, does it assume that there's physically tam? The Yisra V'Heter itself is shver, right? Because the Yisra V'Heter assumes that the pot just becomes nevela. And therefore, the pot, you restart the whole thing, and now the noodles become nevela. And you restart the whole thing, and then whatever that gives tam into becomes nevela. The Yisra V'Heter seems to be assuming that it works through chatichanas nevela, and you assume that chanan can keep happening even where the original Yisra can't go. Which is against Rov Rishon, like you just pointed out. The Shach says most of the time we assume that Ein, what is it? Ein Aneser also Elam Kein Aser Isra Yochalelechim. Right? That Ein Aneser say the word Isra seven times in a sentence. Right? That the Aneser can only Aser as far as the original Isra can go. So the Isra Vatra seems to be assuming that the the nes are kanasa even beyond where the original lister can go. But let's assume like the Rashba for a second. So the fact that there's such a thing as napranat yisura implies that the tam exists. It's just such a tam kalush that if it weren't yet usur, there won't be an isur. However, the Yamshel Shlomo in Siman Samech Aleph says that the entire heter of napranat is only if you can't actually taste the meat and the fish. But if you can actually taste the meat and the fish, then it's certainly usur to eat with milk, and there's no heter of napranat hetera. So when Shmuel says napranat is mutter, that's only to say that you don't have to be choshesh that there's going to be tam basar. But if you give it a taste, and you say, oh my gosh, this fish tastes just like meat, or I could detect the taste of meat in this fish, then you gotta, and you already put cream sauce in it or whatever, then you have to throw it out. The Prichadash disagrees. He says, no, even if you could detect the tam basar in the fish, you can eat it with dairy, because it's a very shvacha tam basar. It's such a weak tam basar that it's not consequential anymore. That yes, it exists, it physically exists, but it's not consequential halachically. So it's really, meaning, everything we've been talking about in Yerideya, get a kfela to taste it, tam ki'ikr, right? We've always been focused on the reality. Is there tam or isn't there tam? And all of a sudden we get to this discussion of not bar not, and we're talking in halacha, and we're not talking in reality. And there's an assumption of the reality. We just don't know what that assumption is. Right? There's either an assumption that even though there's tam, but because it's not bar not that day, it's going to be okay. Or there's an assumption that there can't possibly be tam. And that's why not bar not that day works. But then why would not bar not the yisura be a problem if there's no tam? So the very idea that napranat yisur is a problem, at least in the Rashba's view, seems to assume that there is actual tam there, that there's some sort of detectable tam. So the Rosh Yosef has beautiful. He says in a Chakira Aleph, he discusses whether you say napranat even to chametz bePesach, which is also b'mashu. I mean, what's the tutzadim? Do you assume naparnat means that it's not even a mashahu? Meaning that naparnat doesn't exist. Once you have naparnat, it means the tam isn't there. So, okay, chametz pesach is not there either. It's fine. Or do you assume that when an isser is benosin tam, naparnat is less than nosin tam? It's such a tam kolosh that it's not called the nesinas tam. Okay, but mashahu doesn't need to be nosin tam. Chametz pesach doesn't need to be nosin tam. Chavitz Pesach is also even without Nesinas Tam. The Ritva says explicitly, Kufi Beza Medalev, that we apply the heter of Naparnat even to Chametz. The Naparnat works even, meaning it doesn't exist. It's not there. It's not that it's there but less than Nesinas Tam or an inconsequential Nesinas. It's not there. I mean, the Ritva holds Naparnat has nothing to do with Tam. Naparnat is... It's just not there. It doesn't exist. The smak who assumes that naparnat work, and the yisur v'heter who assume that naparnat works with chatichanas nevela, l'chara assume against the ritva, because you can only say chatichanas nevela if there was tam. Yad Yehuda rejects that whole cheshbon. He says, no. Everybody agrees naparnat has tam. It's just that it's such a tam kalish that the yisur can't be chal. And that would apply equally to Chametz Pesach. It could be such a tam kalish that the Yisur won't be chal. Meaning, I understand, meaning there's a difference between percentage of the Yisur and the weakness of the tam. That the flavor, though detectable, and I don't know how to measure such a thing, but the flavor, though detectable, is so weak that it's not going to be able to carry an Yisur. So this is a discussion that the Achronim have. Do we assume Naparnat, the heter of Naparnat works for Chametz Pesach also? Okay, but that's really a side point. Let's get back to the main story over here. What's the main story? The main story is, when do we have a situation Naparnat? What was the Gemara's example? Dagim Sheh, keyword, Alu Bika'ara. If you wanted to give an example of Naparnat, what would you have said? How would you have said it? Dagim Sheh, Alu Bika'ara? You would say Dagim Sheh, you cook dagim in a, you know, there's a lot of Jewish bubbies and mothers or whatever have a practice that they have a fish pot. Right? Why do they have a fish pot? So they have a fish pot really because they're, well, we'll get to that actually, but meaning, let's say you don't have a fish pot, so you're cooking your fish and you're flashing a pot. So that's what I would have said as a classic example of napranat. I make gefilte fish in a fleishige pot, and now I want to have gefilte fish together with melechigs. Not on Shabbos, I have some leftover gefilte fish from Shabbos. Obviously on Shabbos I have a fleishige meal, but I have some gefilte fish left over from Shabbos, and I want to have it together with melechigs. You know, when someone says, oh, did you ever try gefilte fish with, you know, melechig sauce? Or whoever thought of gefilte fish with melechig? It's weird, let's try it, right? So now you want to have your gefilte fish with melechig. That's what I would have said. Why is it dagim sha'alu b'ka'ara? So there is a machlokas rishonim, how to understand this. The Rivan, quoted by Tosfos, right there on the sugya, the Rivan quotes from Rashi. You have to really, Tosfos is not convinced that Rashi ever said this, but the Rivan, so they call it the sheet of the Rivan, even though the Rivan says that it's Rashi. And it is the sheet of other Rishonim, Mordechai says like this explicitly, that the simple reading of the Gemara, that only fish that was cooked in a par of pan, in a par of pan, the fish was cooked separately, par of, everything was fine. And then alu on a fleshic plate. So the first time the fish met the flesh was on a plate, then you're allowed to eat that fish with kutach. But if you cook the fish in a clean fleshic pot, you actually cooked it in a fleshic pot, then you're not allowed to eat that fish with kutach. Why? Because the concept of naparnat is a huge heter, but it doesn't apply when something is cooked in a fleshic pan. It's only if it's put on a fleshic plate. Why? Because cooking is awakens a very strong capacity for time to transfer. And therefore, the meat that's absorbed in the pan is really going to get all the way into the fish. So when Shmuel was matir, not parnat ha-teira, he allowed fish that was placed in a fleshic plate to be eaten with dairy. But if it was cooked in a fleshic pan, then it's not allowed to be eaten with dairy. What's the obvious kasha? If it was olah b'kara, it was put in a fleshic plate, so then it's a cliché, right? If it's cliché, it's a mevashal in a mavliya. So what's the shayla? So what's the shayla? So a couple of possibilities. What's the shayla new? What? Klipa, right? You have klipa to worry about. What? Okay, if it's very, very hot, right? You have marshal, davargush, right? So, the Rivan has two rayas that he's correct. Tosos quotes. The Rivan has two rayas that he's correct. And all the Rishonim quoted, it's not, you know, it's not just in Tosos, it's in the Ramban, and the Rashba, and the Ritva, and the Ran. I mean, everyone has the same discussion over here. Sometimes it's good to learn a lot of different Rishonim, not only to find the differences between them, but just to get Chazara. You know, you learn the different Rishonim, they're all saying the same basic thing. So they all quote a raya from that next line of the Gemara that we read before. That tznon shechatchu b'sakin asur la'achlo b'kutach. That if you cut the radish with a knife, with a fleshig knife, you're not allowed to eat that radish with kutach. Why? The charifus of the radish. Now, if you assume that a cold radish can be motzi the tam in the knife, then for sure cooking can be motzi the guf hatam in the knife. So, if you cook fish in a fleshig pot, you should for sure say that the fish is fleshig. I mean, if cutting a radish with a fleshiga knife is going to be enough to draw the fleshiga tam out of the knife. If I cook something in a fleshiga pot, of course it should draw the fleshiga tam out. That's the actual gufatam. That's the best. Meaning, what's a stronger way to transfer tam? Cooking or duchka de sakina? Of course cooking is stronger. So if Duchka de Sakina is going to allow you to draw out all the Flesh of Gatam, then of course cooking will allow you to draw out all the Flesh of Gatam. However, that assumes that the whole issue with the knife was about a Dabar Charif and Duchka de Sakina. But Rashi said on that Gemara that there's another issue with the knife, and that is there's Mamashus on the knife. So yeah, the radish is Flesh because it's Mamashus. So it's not necessarily the... Right, so that's what the Rishonim discussed, whether that raya is a good raya. Then Tosfos brings another raya. Psachim daf lamid, zichru people. Psachim daf lamid. So Psachim daf lamid we have is one of the two places within a five daf span in the Sechus Psachim where we talk about fleishig milchik bread. Because right, daf lamid, hey, you have we discuss matzah shirin whether you can put milk in bread, but in daf lamid we talk about an oven that they smeared with fat. So the fat is flay sugar fat. Why would you smear an oven with fat? That seems gross. So why do you do that? It's going to be important over here. Why would you do that? Better, more than flavor, better than more important than flavor, I think. What? When you ever, anyone barbecue here? Anyone ever cook? Right, before you cook something in a pan, what do you do to the pan?
Spray.
You spray it. Why? Because you don't want everything to stick to the pan. Oh, it says it's a no-stick pan. Yeah, you better spray it, because the no-stick pan will stick. Right? You barbecue, you spray the grill before, or you smear something on. So that's what they smeared the fat on. That was the, that would get, the bread would come off, instead of the bread falling apart when you try to take it off. So they would smear the oven. So the Tosos quotes a raya that the Gemara over there says that you're not allowed to cook bread in that oven until you fire up the oven and kasher it. Why not? Why isn't cleaning the oven enough? Because if you clean the oven and then you cook bread in that oven that had fat smeared on it, and now you cook bread, that bread is going to be fleshy bread. You're not going to be allowed to have it with milchitz. Hechitesi. What? That's a classic example of afranat. The tam basar went into the oven. I'm going to clean it. Then the tam from the oven goes into the bread. And then it's not pranata teira. I should be allowed to put cream cheese on that bread. What's going to be the problem? So says Tosfos. The problem is that it was not bekaara. It was betanur. It was with cooking. And with cooking, you don't have a heter of not pranat. Not pranat only works when it's alu bekaara. So why is that not a good raya? So Tosfos rejects the raya because Tosfos says, no. The oven is going to make the bread fleshig because you're never going to clean it. Meaning it's not that if you did clean it, it would still be asr. It's we don't trust that you're ever going to really clean it properly. Like, well, why wouldn't you clean it properly? What would prevent someone from cleaning this? That seems to be machlokas achronim. The Taz over here in Sifkat and Zayin, the Taz writes, Eina tanur miskanei achyofa, di eshlam adasam kaya tanur she'i efshar lishlot bo kol kach biyodayim. I'm not sure exactly what he imagines, but maybe there are so many grooves or crevices in the oven, you just can't access every spot of the oven. It's impossible to clean. You know where we say this, halacha l'maisa, where poskim say this? Toaster ovens, they say. They say, you clean a toaster oven, it's never really clean. There are just too many nooks and whatever and things that you can't really clean. A real oven, for some reason, we assume you can clean, but a toaster oven, poskim assume you can't clean properly. So says the Taz, just one second, says the Taz, so you can't clean it. If you can't clean it, it's never really clean. But ain't a chinami. If it were clean, the Rivan is incorrect. The Rashban, Taras Abayi, seems to say that explicitly also. The Ramban doesn't say it's impossible to clean an oven. The Ramban says, I don't trust you. It's a little different. Why doesn't he trust you to clean the oven? Because you put the fat there for a reason. You want it to be a non-stick oven. So you're not going to really clean it well because you want it to be non-stick. You want to be able to get the bread off easily, so it's that we can't be trusted to remove the fat properly. The Bach says differently. He says, no, it's not about the oven, it's about the fat. He says, Schumann is so sticky that it's impossible to clean off of any surface. Ooh, big nafkamina humaisa that. According to the Bach, if your fleisha kapat became fleish by having Schumann in it, I don't care how many times you clean it. You're not going to have naparnat de'etera. You're not going to be able to apply naparnat. Meaning, it's about the shuman. The shuman can't be cleaned off properly. So anyway, all of this is shita's harivan, right? The rivan's shita is, yes, we paskin naparnat de'etera, but very limited. Naparnat de'etera is only when it's ala b'ka'ara. It's not if you actually cook it that way. Question? Meaning alu b'ka'ara, as opposed to cooking in it. Right, that's what we were saying, that you have to say, but at the Kedei Klipa or the... Right.
So is it not difficult?
Yes, so they deal with that raya. We've discussed, right? Meaning, that's what you have to say. It's talking about the Kedei Klipa or Yad Nechves, or whatever, something like that. You have to come up with something. So, so that's Shitas HaRivan. Comes along the Ramban. The Ramban is bothered by the Rivan. Because if you assume that Tam Sheni can come out through cooking into the entire food, then Tam Sheni should be enough to Asur Kedei Klipa in the case that something hot is placed on a cold plate. Meaning, Lemaisa, what's the difference between a pot and a plate? A pot will cause the Tam to go through and through, and a plate causes the Tam to go Kedei Klipa. It's all a matter of distance. It's not a matter of strength. So why would you say that you have this concept called Naparnata Atera when you put it on a plate, but you don't have Naparnata Atera when you cooked it in a pot? The difference between a plate and a pot is just distance. It's just how far the Tam goes. But it's the same Tam. So the Tam either goes to the Kedei Klipa, or the Tam goes through the whole thing. But at least on the Kedei Klipa, you should say the same thing. Whatever you say by the pot, you should say on the Kedei Klipa of a cold plate. So the Rosh in Simon Chavtes defends the Rivan. So no, even if Dagum Shalom Bekara Arbo Leia Kedei Klipa, it's not enough to say not Barnat. Kedei Klipa is too small an amount to say not Barnat. Meaning, you know, it seems that the Rosh and the... I should have backed up a second here. How do we understand this Rivan? Right, what exactly is the lumdus of the Rivan? There is a machlokas between the Rosh and the Ramban, what the Rivan even means. The Ramban understands that the Rivan holds that cooking in a fleshic pot causes the guf habliya to emerge, but if you just put something on a fleshic plate, then the guf hatam doesn't really come out. The Rosh understands the Rivan that even though it's only tam sheni, we're only makel on a tiny bit of tam sheni. But an abundance of tam sheni, we're not going to be makel on. So according to the Ramban, the Ramban's got problems because he says if the guf hatam is coming out and it's just a matter of distance, so why don't you say that the guf hatam comes out into the kedei klipa of the plate? But according to the Rosh, small quantities of tam sheni are inconsequential. Large quantities of tam sheni are consequential. Meaning, it's not the guf hatam; it's something else. It's something called tam sheni. Is tam sheni a thing? Is tam sheni a problem? In large quantities, it's a problem. In small quantities, it's not a problem. So the Rosh is not going to have a problem with the Rivan because the way l'shitaso, the way he understood the Rivan. So again, to back up, the Rivan says that the whole heter of Naparnata Atera is only if it's Olah B'Ka'ara. But if you cook in a fleshic pot, then you don't have Naparnata Atera. Why not? Why? What's the difference? So says Ramban, the difference is that the Ramban says the difference is that cooking in a fleshic pot causes the guf habliya. It actually brings out that tam, that real original tam gets out there. But when you just saw the Bakara, the real original Tom's not going to come out. So the Ramban, l'shitaso, says, why not? Let it come out into a Kedei Klipa. It's only a difference in distance. It's not a difference in what it is. Whereas the Rosh's understanding of the Rivan was that, no, you're never getting the Guf HaTam. It's a Tam Sheni. It's just that Tam Sheni is only problematic in high concentration, in high quantities. Tam Sheni is not problematic when it's just a teeny bit of Tam Sheni. So if you can say that it's only Tam Sheni that goes into a Kedei Klipa, it's nothing. Kedei Klipa of Tam Sheni is not going to bother me.
Or that works with the Rosh, but is there the Tam Kalash Kofar, the Smak, and the Hefner, which doesn't have to do with the quantity? Did you say Hanan originally, or did you not?
Right. Yeah, Pasha's like the Rosh, but yeah. But the Rashba disagrees with the whole Rivan. Right? Meaning the Cholik on the Rivan is Rabbeinu Tam, but also the Rashba. So Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashba disagree. They say that the Gemara is even talking about a case where the fish was cooked in a clean fleshic gepen, and it can still be eaten with dairy. Olah B'Ka'ara, it doesn't mean that we're placed on a fleshic plate, because that would be mutter anyway, because it's a klisheni. That's the raya. Olah B'Ka'ara can't mean just a plate, because it's a klisheni. Klisheni can't be mevashel anything. there are no pliyos. So it has to mean, although bakar is just an expression, but it has to mean that it was actually cooked in a pot. It has to be that it was cooked in a flesh of a pan. So the concept of naparnat is even when it was cooked, according to the Rashba and the Rabbeinu Tam, against the Rivan. Then there's a compromise approach. There's a third shita. And that's the shita of the Yisr V'Heter, and the Hagos Smak in Reshu Kimelos Ches, the Hagos Memonios in Macholos Asurus, Perek Tes, and other Rishonim, that they come to a compromise. And they say that fish that was cooked in a fleshik pan, l'chadchila, you're not allowed to eat it with dairy. But if it was already mixed with dairy, then you can eat it. So if I made spaghetti, I made pasta in a fleshik pan, meaning you get the shayla in both ways. Sometimes you get the shayla, I made quinoa in a fleshik pan, and I want to melt cheese, feta cheese on my quinoa. And sometimes you get the shayla, I made cheese in a fleshik pan, I melted feta cheese on my, I made quinoa in a fleshik pan, I melted feta cheese on my quinoa, can I eat it? So those are two different shaylas. Right, so the Yisr V'Heter says, if you actually cook the pasta in a fleshik pan, then you're not allowed to eat it with dairy. But if you mixed it with dairy already, then you are allowed to eat it. I mean, what does it mean? Dagum shalav bakar muta lachlo im kutach. Muta lachlo if it's already im kutach, or muta lachlo even the chachila to go ahead and put it with kutach. Right, the diuk is the Gemara says zag mishal bakara, implying that it happened b'diavad. Then you can eat it with milk, but you can't bring about naparnat lechachila. So the Yad Yehuda explains Hagos Smak holds that the way naparnat works is that the tam is so weak that it becomes bottle. But doing it lechachila is a violation of imvatnas lechachila. So the majority of Rishonim hold that the reason Naparnat works is that Tam is so weak that the Yisr isn't Chal at all. Not that it's becoming Batal because it's so minuscule, but it's just not Chal. So there's no need for Bittal. So how do we Paskin L'maisa? So take a look at Shulchan Aruch, Sif Aleph. Dagum Shana Spashlu, Oshanitsu B'Kedera Shal Basar. Ruchutza Yafa, the pot is clean. Shein Shum Shum and Davakba. Mutra la'achlam b'kutach. You're allowed to eat it together with kutach. B'shem davi nosin tam, bar nosin tam. So Shulchan Aruch doesn't say all the bekar. It says nisbashlu o nitzlu b'kederi shel basar. It says explicitly that's cooked, like the Rashba, like Rabbi Natan. The Ramah in Sif Beis paskens like the Yisr V'Heter. L'chadchila, you don't mix the fish with dairy. If you already mix the fish with dairy, then you rely on Rabbi Natan and Rashba. The Naparnat applies even to food that was cooked. Right, that's the Ramah. Right, if you take a look at the Ramah, the Yesh Machmirim Bitzliya Ubishul Lesser Not Barnat V'Aminug Lesser L'Chadchila, but the Evan Motor B'Chalinyan. Right, meaning, but that's by Bishul. If it was just Alu B'Kara, then even L'Chadchila, it's fine. That's how the Ramah's Machal.
Aren't there three levels?
Nachon, right. There are three levels, right? There's, I want to have noodles and cheese tonight. Can I cook the pasta in a fleshik pot knowing that I want to have noodles and cheese? Right? That's level one. Then you have level two. I already cooked the noodles in a fleshik pot. I wasn't thinking. Now can I mix those noodles with cheese? And then level three, I cooked the noodles in a fleshik pot. I already mixed those noodles with cheese. Now can I eat that? Right? Now can I eat it? So now, let's take level three first. Right? Can you eat it? Right? That's the easiest one. Right? That's Naparnat Tatera. That for sure the Mechaber and the Ramah says also that we rely on the Rashba and Rabbeinu Tam, that even though it was cooked together, once it's already mixed, then it's for sure mutter. What does the Ramah mean when he says V'yesh Machmir B'tzli Bishul Lesser No Sin Tam Bar No Sin Tam? What does he mean by that? That ta'as or not bar not? Level two, probably, right? That you shouldn't then go and mix it with dairy. But keep in mind, all of this is benyomo. Once you make the padeno benyomo, the calculus can change. The question is going to be, even if it's Eino Ben Yomo, can you lechachila do it on purpose? Right? Can I say, oh, I want to have noodles and cheese tonight. Fleishik pot is right here. But it's Eino Ben Yomo. So good. So I'm going to cook the... Right? Can you even do that? So that's... That we'll get to that. But what the Rama is saying over here is between level 2 and level 3. So we're going to get there. The Bedek Abayis and the Beis Yosef have two different... Yeah, so we're about to get there. Okay, good. So the Beis Yosef and the Shachs have gotten Gimel. Quote from a smack that even according to the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashba, you can't put fish in a fleishik pan in order to eat it with kuta. Meaning, level one. Right? You're not allowed to go and make yourself spaghetti... Having in mind that you're going to mix it with cheese, make yourself spaghetti in a fleishik pot, having in mind that you're going to mix it with cheese. Only if you already cooked it in the fleishik pot, and now you decide to eat it with dairy, so then it's going to be mutter.
So what's the difference between the Beis Yosef's understanding of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashba and the Yetzer Hat?
Why? What do you mean?
Meaning, is basically understanding.
No, the Yetzer Hatter is going to tell you, the Rivan and the Yetzer Hatter will tell you that that if you cooked, then forget it. Then you don't have a heter of nosin tam or nosin tam. If you actually cooked it in a fleishik pot, then you're not even. Then once it's mixed with cheese, it's straight. So the Beis Yosef again, Beis Yosef quoting from the Simak, even according to the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashba, you're not allowed to decide that I want to cook pasta in a fleishik pot when my plan is to have a noodles and cheese, to have a milchik dish. But the Beis Yosef in the Bedek HaBayis, right, there's a section of Beis Yosef called Bedek HaBayis. Like it's an edition, it was written and edited by the Mechaber himself, by Maran Beit Yosef. When did he write it? That's a little bit unclear. Was it after he wrote the Shulchan Aruch or before he wrote the Shulchan Aruch? Chapa Nafkamina, how do we paskin when there's a stira? So we'll see in a second. So in the Bedek HaBayis section of the Beis Yosef, he writes, Yerakos v'kitnios, shenizbashl b'kedera cholavas, you have vegetables of paru food, you cook in a milichik pot, he's just to confuse us, right? Let's flip it to cooking in a milichik pot. Afilu hi bas yoma, mutar la'achlo b'tavshil shalbasa. You're allowed to have that with tavshil basa. No chiddush there, right? Meaning that's straight Rabbeinu Tam Rashba. V'nira dafka b'di'eved, aval l'chadchila, ein lo levashel b'kli shel cholav, dover sherot zalechol in basar. L'chadchila, you cannot cook noodles in a fleishik pot when you plan on eating noodles and cheese. He says, ve'ein dvar v'nirim. I don't think it's right. L'chadchila, nami mut levashel b'kli shel cholav, dover sherot zalechol in basar. Says Beis Yosef Medek Abayis, that's what they say, but I disagree. I think that it's mutar even l'chadchila. So Rav Avad Yosef is quoted in Yalkut Yosef that he passes like the Medek Abayis that mutar l'chadchila levashel machel she'ino lo besari velo chalavi v'kedeir besarit nekia av shibas yoma v'lechol tavshil ze'im ma'achalei chalav she'ikr ledina kedat maran abeit Yosef bebedek Abayit. That you're allowed to intentionally do it. You could cook the noodles in the pot, planning on making noodles and cheese. The Shach says that even according to the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to do it. Meaning the Shach learns the Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to do it. That it's only b'diavad. But in Beit Yosef, he says you are allowed to do it. So which is it? So again, Beit HaBayis is in addition to the Beis Yosef, and it was edited by the Mechaber himself. The question becomes, what did he write last? The Shulchan Aruch of the Bedek HaBayis. So Rav Avadia holds that the Bedek HaBayis was written after the Shulchan Aruch, and therefore you follow the Pesach of the Bedek HaBayis against Maran, against the Mechaber, against what he writes in the Shulchan Aruch. That's, where does he get that from? Because the Akdama to the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that the Shulchan Aruch is a summary of the Beis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef is the Iker Sefer. So you always have to look at the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef wins over Shulchan Aruch. In general, not just Bedek HaBayis. Beis Yosef wins over Shulchan Aruch.
Is it because the Bedek HaBayis is in later, slash because Beis Yosef eats it, or because the Shulchan Aruch is not
So I think in general, a compelling diuk in the Shulchan Aruch is ki'ilu it's mufurish. So I think generally we would assume that way. But Rav Avadya's main thing is that you got to read the author's introduction. And in the introduction he said that this is just, what did he write? He writes in the introduction to the Shulchan Aruch that you should chazur dal chalkei Shulchan Aruch every 30 days or so. I mean, that's like the Cliff's Notes to the Beis Yosef. Learn Beis Yosef really well, and then every 30 days you just go through. You know, you just that's a good way to remember what it says. Meaning the diuk of the Gemara, right? Why doesn't the Gemara say Nosnim dagim bekaara kedei lo chlamim kutach? Good. So Darke Moshe says Vani omer kinayim v'shachav amar lahaim ilsa. Darke Moshe is cut in Beis. Says I don't know what the Beis says. He's talking about what bala truma did he see? He said the may avul bala truma kasav. I'm sorry, he's asking something else. He says that even the smak only said that l'chadchila you're not allowed to put it in a ka'ara in order to eat it with chalav. Aval m'kvar hela pshita shmud l'chadchila l'achlanim chalav. Level 2 is fine. The lo palag al gemara, because the gemara says the mutter l'achlan b'chalav. Mutter is mashmal l'chadchila. Meaning what he's saying is that I don't know whether you're allowed to do it on purpose. The Gemara spoke about a case where it happened already, but then the Gemara says, L'chadchila, now you're allowed to have it together with Chalav. So the Gemara says that level 2 is L'chadchila. Yeah, you take a look at that Darke Moshe and the Drisha, see how to read that Beis Yosef. But again, the key for us is that if you assume like the Ramah, right, you assume like the Ramah, so then for sure not level 1, right? For sure you can't cook noodles in a fleshik pot, that's a ben yom fleshik pot, in order to put it with cheese, right? But if you assume like the Mechaber, then l'chora you can, it's mutter even l'chadchila, because even though the Mechaber doesn't say that way, but Rav Avadya Yosef says, you follow what he writes in Beit Yosef, he says, not like the smak, he says, in the Bedek Abaye said it's all mutter. They're even allowed to do it l'chadchila. Now, just one side point to finish here with today, and that is the Taz in Sifkat and Gimel asks, well, wait a second, of all examples to use, you know, for a part of a food, right? So what example did we use? Dagim sha'alu b'ka'ara. I mean, dagim, you're cooking fish in a fleshik pot? Why are we having fish in a fleshik pot? Aside from the fact that you're then mixing it with milchigs, which the Beit Yosef writes that you're not allowed to mix fish and milchigs. So the Taz says, "Vein lahakshos d'mashmakan d'davka im chalav asra dag avol b'fnei atzmo shari." He says you're going to ask, "Oh, but sounds like this fish cooked in a fleshik pot is mutter." Hayesh bros mishum sakana k'moshe kasev b'sim kuf yud vav siv beis. She sakanim the special dog in basar, that it's a sakana to cook fish together with basar. So he says, it's not a kasha. Why is it not a kasha? Dekan lo nachus l'dinze, el b'mashu nogeh, l'inyin at bernat. Quotes from Marshall, he says, we're just not talking about that. So we just use an example of a power of food. When we get to sakana, we'll realize that this is us or two. Sounds like the Marshall is going to say that you're not allowed to, that do you have to have a fish pot? Sounds like Marshall holds yes. You can't cook fish in a fleshig pot. It's just that we're talking about napanat over here, but you shouldn't cook fish in a fleshig pot, ben yomo pot, because of sakana. The Yisuf Heter disagrees, and he says no. There's only a problem of sakana with the physical mixing of meat and fish. Meat flavor absorbed in a pan, that's not sakana. We pass like the Yisuf Heter, right? Most people can assume like the Yisuf Heter. You can cook fish in a fleshig pot. I heard, I had a chance to listen to the first 20 minutes of Rabbi Reisman's shiur on the Seifim, and he said that Rav Pam said that if a woman has a minug in her family, that they have a designated fish pot, it's not a minug. You don't have to treat it as a minug. It's just, you know, women like to have a designated fish pot. You know, it's a routine. A routine is not a minhag, which is a big chiddush. Because if it's a machlokas haposkim, you would think it is a minhag. Why are you going to tell me? But usually the flesh pot that she's going to cook the gefilte fish in any way is eino ben yomo, and that no one holds as a problem if it's eino ben yomo. Yeah, but then if it's ben yomo, it might be a halacha according to the marshal, right? So if it's eino ben yomo, that would be a minhag. That's how minhagim work. That we're knowing never to use a fleshik pot for to cook fish because, you know, if it were ben yomo, it would be a problem. I would think that it would be a minhag. He said, Rav Pam thought that it's not even a minhag. See, he must have read this Taz differently also, because the way he was saying it, he was saying, like, it's pashut from the Taz that you're allowed to cook in a fleshik pot. Meaning, based on that marshal. But the marshal says that you're not allowed to. Meaning, granted, the Yisrael Heter, the Taz quotes the Yisrael Heter, disagrees, but if it's a machlokas, a poskim, I don't know. So he thought it's not a minhag at all. There's a further machlokas we're going to have in Kufta. Well, we're not going to do it, but in Kufta Zayin, Dvarim Asur Mishum Sakana, there's a machlokas between Taz and the Kudas HaKesef if fish is batel b'shishim, or meat is batel b'shishim and fish, or vice versa. Right? Is there bitel b'shishim with meat and fish? So over there, the Taz is machmir, that you don't say bitel b'shishim. Over here, he sides with the Yisr V'Heter. Right, that you don't have to worry about the blios. Well, blios are different than shishim, so you have to assume that when it's mamashos, even pachos mishishim is going to be a problem. But blios, he thinks, are not going to be a problem. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem, not tomorrow, Wednesday, we'll pick up. Okay, have a great day, everybody.